Hello, everyone, and welcome to Knowledge is Power, your weekly recap of obscure and not-so-obscure news from the internets and beyond.
From Chicago, I'm Eric Munn.
And from New York, I'm Greg Rutter. Hey, happy 4th of July, Eric.
Happy 4th of July.
That was a little improvised music rendition for you.
I spent 2 weeks recording that.
That wasn't improvised in the least. Welcome, Eric. Welcome all of our listeners to a special 4th of July edition of Knowledge is Power.
Where none of our stories have anything to do with America or freedom, but we're doing it because we both have work off today.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's American and traditional anything.
Yeah, if nothing else gets closer to the American dream than not going to work.
Than not going to work and being productive when you're not at work. It's really weird, but it works.
talking into a microphone in your
room. Talking into a microphone you stole from some guy on the street.
And swearing.
Does New York... Is New York normal? Because, see, Chicago's not in that. They did all this the fireworks last night.
No,
on July 3rd.
Oh, really?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of strange because I know like where I'm from originally, like we always had like the fireworks on the 3rd because, you know, everyone went to the bigger cities to see the big time fireworks
exactly.
on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
But apparently Chicago is selling itself short.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Chicago's like, we're not that great.
Yeah, we're just going to do it on the 3rd. Is that okay?
You guys should probably go somewhere else.
Yeah. We just, you know, we're tired. Last year's party didn't go as well as we thought. And, you know, Vancouver was a little rude. So we're holding it on the 3rd this year.
You guys are welcome to hang out if you want, though. We're just not going to do anything. That's hilarious. So your long weekend went well?
Yeah. Good weekend, good week. Finally got a place, so that's cool.
And you're looking
up. I mentioned in the last show that I was looking. Finally got one, so that's set.
And you're the new apartment, you actually look out onto the lions that hump.
Yeah, at the Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago, which is this free zoo, which is pretty sweet, right, Greg? You saw
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty sweet for being free. And my new apartment is in a high-rise. And it looks out, the balcony that you can go onto looks out onto the zoo, and you can see the lions, and it's awesome.
And then Eric's going to force them to mate.
I'm going to get a bullhorn and record the sound of, you know, like the lion mating and just play it so that they're always humping when I wake up.
That's actually how I learned to mate, with a high-powered rifle. A bullhorn and a high-powered rifle.
I won't say it was enjoyable, but I learned.
Dad, tell me about the birds and the bees. Sure thing.
Sure thing. Get my bullhorn.
Get old trusty over there. All right, let's get into some freaking news.
Let's do it. All right. My first story comes from the New York Times in their technology section.
Mr. Fancy.
Fancy man. The title of the article is "With a Cell Phone as My Guide," and what it's talking about are these new cell phones in Japan, and I'm just going to read the paragraph here because I think it's amazing. If you stand on a street corner in Tokyo today, you can point a specialized cell phone at a hotel, a restaurant, or a historical monument, and with the press of a button, the phone will display information from the internet describing the object you are looking at. The new service is made possible by the efforts of three Japanese companies and GeoVector, a small American technology firm, and it represents the missing link between cyberspace and the physical world. And I just think this is the hottest thing ever. I mean, we've already, you know, shown with Google Ads and so forth that, you know, how great it is to have the internet show us relatable links to what we want to know about. You know, if you go to a certain website, Google Ads can say, oh, you obviously like J. Crew. Here's some links to other things. Well, now they're using this with cell phones, and you can point your cell phone you know, if you don't know what a restaurant's like, you can point a cell phone at this new restaurant in Tokyo only currently, but it'll tell you reviews, it'll show you the website for the restaurant if it has one, so forth and so on. And it also does kind of like a GPS thing. Later on in the article, it talks about how he points at a bunch of buildings and clicks the lodging button, and it shows of those buildings which ones are hotels, how much they cost, and then he kind of just he picks one of them, and it tells him how to walk to it from where he's at. Wow. You know, and he's, you know, 100 like yards away or something like that. But then I'm kind of like, how far away can you be? I mean, how far away can you be from something and point at it?
Right.
You know,
like, you're like, oh,
do you really need directions if you're 20 feet away?
I, you know, but how do I get to the plaza in London? And they're like, well, walk 25,000 miles.
Swim. But I think this is the awesomest thing because, I mean, I've read a lot about those cell phones that they had, I believe, in Sweden or some European country, that you could point at a pop machine and it would, you know, charge your cell phone bill the amount of the pop, and then you could get the pop right there.
Actually, I think they're doing that in the U.S. with PayPal.
That's awesome. If they're doing it here, I think that's great. And, I mean, there's a lot of things that I love about this because it has a lot to do with the technology in general. I mean, think about how, like, debit cards and credit cards are pretty much replacing cash, which I love because, I mean, the thing that sucks is not having cash on you for a lot of things or not having, like, I don't want to carry a laptop around me everywhere I go if I want to know about stuff.
I do.
So to have this cell phone and just go, wow, I'm going to, you know,
yeah,
get all the info I need.
The cell phones are becoming increasingly powerful. I don't know. I think this is really cool. This is great. It's great kind of they've finally made the leap between, you know, having the internet on phones and, like, actually making it useful and worthwhile to have.
Exactly. I mean, right now it's stupid because you can only visit certain websites that, you know, have created a viewable size on your cell phone.
Yeah.
Or you just have to view whatever your provider, you know, if you have Verizon, you can only look at Verizon's whatever they decide. Or if you have Sprint, you can only look at what Sprint decides. This, I think, is a great option because it's kind of like, you get to look at whatever you want, you know, based off what the searches bring up.
Yeah, in the U.S., and I wonder if this will actually hit in the U.S. or not, because
the article mentions how Japan has some sort of government ruling they need to respond to quickly, which is improving their GPS capabilities. In the U.S., I think because of our whole view of privacy, you know, a lot of Americans don't want the cell phone companies to know where they're at all the time.
Right, so we just leave it to the government.
Exactly. the way the GPS works in a cell phone here in America, it bases it off your distance between two towers.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of saying, okay, well, how much of your cell phone use is coming from tower A and how much is coming from tower B? Using some form of math, we can guess where you are, but it's still a radius of 100 yards, so it's not really exact.
Yeah.
And because there's no rush on it, the article mentions that the technology probably won't be in America for a while.
Mm. I know, I think that I feel like the U.S. cell phone companies are kind of, I don't know if they'd actually do it just because you know, there's nothing really in it for them, like the, you know, they can't.
Yeah,
they can't,
exactly.
There's no reason. I mean, there's no reason for them to develop
it. What's in
it
for them is the. You don't think what's in it for them is the. Hey, look at how sweet this new technology is, and people, you know, jump on it.
Oh yeah, because they love doing that already since since all cell phones here in the U.S. are fucking awesome and it's really easy to get great plans, and, you know, get the features you want.
I think they actually have spent so much on making their cell phones thinner and carry certain music or whatever that they forgot. Oh yeah, they need to have service so you can make a call.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Our business practices have to not suck. I forgot about that. Ugh, the whole 2 year thing. What are you gonna do? Tisk, U.S. cell phone. I think this is really cool, and I really hope that it does come to the U.S. because this is, The U.S. is always kind of behind the times in terms of cell phone technology anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in Europe, even, they're light years ahead of us. Light years.
Light years.
Which is a form of a measurement of time and not distance. I'm an idiot.
They're yards ahead of us. I'm sorry, I meant to say years.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about the story about how iTunes celebrated their 1 year anniversary of podcasting this week. That's my first story.
So how'd they do it? What did they do?
I guess there's not really a story behind it. They
I really kind of made this up.
Yeah. It didn't really happen. I don't have an article to read behind it. Okay. Apple for the first time released iTunes that had built-in podcasting capabilities one year ago this week. And they celebrated their 1 year. And look, I mean, I just think it's incredible how far it's come in a year. I mean, that new release of iTunes really kind of pushed podcasting into the mainstream.
Podcasting is huge.
It's big right now. It's very big.
I mean, when I'm seeing that all the radio shows that I know of that are like popular and or I know a lot of people listen to are all being podcasted now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everything I know is podcast. I mean, once I saw that Homestar Runner went podcasted, I was like, okay, this is pretty big.
Yeah.
You know,
it's official.
And I mean, it's exactly what we love about technology. I mean, it's pretty much TiVo for radio.
Yeah.
Is how I think of it. It's Revo. I don't know what to call it. But you
just
know,
call it Devo.
Devo.
Whip it good.
All my friends that have TiVo, what they love about it is they don't have to worry about missing their show because they can come back and watch it later or watch it over and over again. And the same thing is with podcasting. I mean, if you miss a certain radio show or something like that, you can listen to it whenever you want. And then if you really like it, you can listen to it over and over again. I think podcasting's great.
Yeah, I say congratulations to iTunes and Apple for being able to kind of facilitate this and really push it into the mainstream and having the foresight to notice that and being
cognizant of
like, well, we should build this in. So anyway, they had a special page under their music store, under the podcasting music store, with a list of like the 50 most influential podcasts, and you know, there was, you know, This Week in Tech.
I was gonna say, what would you say was the first podcast you knew of or listened to or whatever?
The first one that I listened to and loved was one called The Vinyl Podcast, which has since been shut down. The record labels were really not interested in it, but it was a guy who collected old records, and what he did is he recorded, he gave a history of the band, a history of the recording, and then played the song, you know, with all the scratches and bumps and stuff like that, of these really obscure out of print. They were almost always out of print pieces of music, and that was his argument for like a long time. It was like, you know, well, you know, the RIAA is trying to shut me down, but you know, this is all out of print, and no one's making any money off this anyway. So why not let people enjoy it?
That's what I hate about the RIAA. We just want to enjoy.
Yeah.
You know?
Just fucking let us have it.
Let us have fun.
No, I mean, what was your first one?
Greg, you pulled me into podcasting. I had heard the term, but it was one of those like, can I do this? You know, can I listen to podcasts? I didn't know if you needed a special device and you needed to wear something on your head. You know, I didn't know.
Actually, I wear a diaper on my head every time I listen to a podcast. I'm wearing one now just because I'm thinking about podcasts.
And
keeps the satellites out.
It keeps the satellites out and the good stuff in. So the first one I ever listened to was The Sound of Young America, because you mentioned it to me. And I first, you know, was kind of like, oh, I don't know how this works, because I just listened to him on his website.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just listened to the MP3. And I was kind of like, well, this is weird. I don't want to, you know, have to check the website. And then once I looked into it and realized, oh, you know, it refreshes and all this awesomeness, I became addicted. Dude, it's one of those things where I check the podcast directory, you know, weekly now on iTunes just to see what's out there.
Oh, really? Wow. Good for you.
Oh, dude, I love podcasts. And, you know, with my iPod and everything, I mean, I already know what music I have. I mean, I'll use music every now and then. You know, I'll go and download or buy music every now and then, but it's rare. I don't listen to music as much as I used to. Now I listen to more political blogs or funny blogs and so forth. You know, I don't know. I just think I get more out of those, and that's what I can listen to on the way to work and so
yeah.
forth and so on. I think blogs and podcasting are great.
I really have to limit myself to how much I've clocked it, and the last time I checked, which is a couple months ago, and I know that I've added others since then, I have 12 hours of things to listen to each week.
That's insane.
Yeah, I need to cull that down.
Yeah. Well, I just I got rid of that Joe Frank podcast because I just couldn't do it.
Bummer.
I couldn't do it anymore.
Did you check out the wiretap?
Oh, not yet.
Go look that up. Everyone, there's some secret feed out there for the wiretap podcast, and it's really good.
Cool.
I strongly recommend it. All right, your story.
All right, well, happy anniversary,
yeah,
podcasting.
We kind of beat that to death. Move on, Eric.
Move on. All right. Sales calls push security hotline to refuge of do not call list. Ever feel there's no getting away from telephone sales calls? Well, you're not the only one. The federal government has decided to put its own secret Homeland Security hotline on the nation's to the nation's 50 governors on the federal do not call registry. So what this is saying is is because the secret Homeland Security number was getting more sales calls than it was emergencies.
That's...
And they have an interview with the woman. Her name is Ruth Ann Miner. And she says the phone would ring, and 9 out of 10 times it would be a telemarketer. So she doesn't even answer the phone half the time because she knows there can't be this many emergencies that the Homeland Security number is getting called.
What?
Exactly. So I'm so upset that
there's so many things to be upset about in this story.
Marketers can get the number to our secret. I mean, not only that they can get these secret numbers, but that they're wasting taxpayers' money, taxpayers' time, and this. You know, the point of this number is so it's like, oh, call this because a hurricane's about to hit, you know? Oh, sorry, the line's busy because I want to try to sell you MCI, you know? It's like, what? No, this is insane.
What? One, I'm shocked that it's like an actual fucking number. Like, why is it? Shouldn't there be like a direct, like, you know? I guess this is the problem. Like, why would anyone else need the number besides, like, one guy in an office? Like, this is the red telephone. This is the fucking red telephone, right?
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
Why would anyone else... Why does it need a number? Like, can't you just... Shouldn't it just be, like, a direct... Like, one of those things where you just pick it up and it goes... As soon as you pick up the phone, it rings the other end?
Well, I think it's also... Yeah, I'm sure it has that ability when you're inside the White House or if you're in the government. But let's say you are Senator so-and-so, and you're down at a trip, and you need to call because you can tell something that's bad about to happen.
You heard some juicy
gossip.
Call
this number. You know, I've got some juicy gossip on Hurricane Sarah.
Hurricane Sarah likes Tropical Storm Albert.
Albert's so bad for her.
Check yes or no, or maybe. Wow, that's...
Yeah.
That's... So, well, thank God they started that do not call registry.
I think it's hilarious that they have to go through, like, this do not call registry. They can't even just say, yeah, we're the government, don't call this number. You know, they have to follow the same things that you and I have to.
Yeah. They at least they have to, like, fit into, like, their own bureaucracy behind it.
That's funny.
That is funny. Oh, my God.
But upsetting.
Yeah, but upsetting, definitely. That's bizarre. I didn't read that correctly the first time. Now that I see this story for what it is, I'm kind of shocked. Oh, see, that's America. Happy 4th of July, everyone.
Happy 4th of July.
And I'm warning you now, Hurricane Sarah. You didn't.
I'm warning you.
So if you're a governor, I'm telling you right now, all of you better be on alert. Hurricane fucking Sarah. All right. My next story is another one that doesn't really have a link, but
Greg decided to make his own news this week.
I went out and hit a kid with a bike.
This one doesn't really have an article, but I bought a new form of deodorant, and it works really well.
So my second story, a tree fell down. It looks like somebody chopped it. It's across the street from where I live. If you know anything, call me. No, so my second story is about Dig.com launched their new redesign this week.
Hooray!
Actually, it was last Monday, so it's more than a week ago. And which, by the way, feels so old news now. Oh my God, one week of news cycle, like, covers so much. I feel like I totally missed this. But Dig 3.0 launched this week, has a crap load of new features. All kinds of new stuff, and I am totally hooked to it.
I don't know how many of our listeners use Dig. You should. If you don't,
it's DIGG.com.
If you don't have to become a member or anything, but I think it's really an interesting site. And if you become a member, it's free, and it really is helpful. What I love that they've done is, it used to be you would dig. Dig is their term for going, yeah, I really like this story. So their homepage is a bunch of stories, links, whatever, that the users find interesting. So rather than going to, you know, the NewYorkTimes.com and New York Times editors decide what is going to be on the front page, Dig.com is all user-based. It's, oh, this one has the most votes right now, so that's our number one link, and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
And what I didn't like about it was, if I didn't like those stories, I couldn't give them like a negative, or it's just, you just didn't dig. But now with Dig 3.0, you can click bury, which pretty much says, oh, I don't like this story, give it a negative. So that way, because I think that gives more of an accurate view. I mean, sure, you can have 10,000 people say this is great, but if you have 30,000 saying this sucks, you know, it ends up kind of canceling out. So.
Yeah, and I think after a certain amount of berries, it actually takes it off the main page.
That's good. Yeah. I think that makes perfect sense.
I know, but it has so many cool features. I don't know if you've seen Dig Trends.
No.
But it's a new thing they have where you can – so it has like the zeitgeist of – because I went to college. I use zeitgeist.
I was going to say, what a fancy word. That was awesome.
I actually have the dictionary in front of me.
and I just randomly opened the words, and luckily this one worked. I almost said pineapple.
So it totally shows the pineapple of what's going on, like, in the public consciousness at the time. And so what you can do, it shows everything, and then off to the side are, like, all the subcategories. You know, so arts, entertainment, technology, software, programming, like all the different things. And so what you can do is, okay, you're like, I'm really into celebrity gossip and website design and world news.
Robots.
And robots. Those four things. That's all that I fucking care about. And so you uncheck all the boxes except for those four, and you can see exactly what stories have been posted in – that relate to that, which I think is incredible.
That's very powerful.
I don't know. I've been reading more and more about how marketers are using what's called the dig effect, which is when a story gets posted, it takes off, you know.
Yeah. So, and everyone, you know, it's like internet. It's buzzed through the internet. It's passed through email. You know, talked about in blogs.
Yeah, I mean,
it's got that dig effect.
You instantly get 10,000 visitors in the course of 10 minutes.
And your server crashes.
Yeah, basically, like all the popular stories like that happen to be to obscure kind of websites, and it instantly crashed almost all the web servers. It's really funny.
Oh, it's crazy. But you know, I love that websites now are becoming verbs. Like it used to, like Google was the first.
Yep.
You know, you'd be like, "Hey, did you Google that?" Whatever. Now, because I remember what Google used to mean in the '80s, and we won't talk about that here. But
inappropriate.
But now that dig, dig has always been kind of a word, but I think now it's actually associated with that website.
Yeah. So. Oh, it's great. It's a lot of new stuff. So things to do are check out iTunes podcasting, dig.com, new cell phone in Japan, and put your name on the Do Not Call registry. That's it. There you go. Happy 4th of July, everyone.
Happy 4th of July.
All right. Your next story.
All right. My final story is about a gentleman. I have to look up his name. Vincent Ferrari of the Bronx called AOL to cancel his membership last month. It took him a total of 21 minutes, including the time spent on an automated sequence at the beginning and some initial waiting in the queue. He recorded the 5 minutes of interaction with the AOL customer service representative and a week later posted the audio file on his blog, Insignificant Thoughts. Shortly thereafter, those 5 minutes became the online equivalent of a top-of-the-charts single. So pretty much what happens is he puts this on and it becomes huge because this 5 minutes is of him saying, "I'd like to cancel my AOL service." And you know how it works. They have a script. And so this guy's kind of saying, "Oh, but we can give you X, Y, and Z." And he's like, "No, no, no. When I say cancel, I don't mean give me a better plan. I mean end my service now." And, you know, it's just 5 minutes of pretty much getting hassled. And so he posts it on, and it becomes huge. And what I love about this story is it shows exactly what I love about the internet. Like, previous to the internet, this guy is pretty much in a corner by himself and kind of tells this story to his friends, and they go, "Oh, that sucks," you know, blah, 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 blah. Now, you post it online. Anyone else who's ever had this happen to them can go to your website, click, "Oh, yeah," you know, type, "Yeah, this has happened to me. I'll help you out. I'll talk to my boss," you know, and pretty much this guy ends up getting fired. An AOL vice president, Nicholas Graham, spoke about this and said, "I can't believe that this happened. This man said the word canceled." He says, the quote I have is, "By my count, he used the word canceled 21 times. That's not counting the I don't need it, I don't want it, and I don't use it." So, you know, I think this is great that because of this buzz, it's kind of like, wow, companies now really, really, really need to make sure they have good customer service. Because if you don't, you know, the whole internet's going to
know. Everyone's
going to know. And you're going to get screwed over. And this also kind of ties into that. Did you hear about that Comcast guy that got caught videotaped sleeping?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah, so like this guy, a Comcast tech came to someone's house to set up their internet and television, and he fell asleep. And so the kid, whose house it was, because I think it was at a college town, he videotaped the guy sleeping on his couch and posted it online.
No, the reason
I think it's great.
No, the reason the Comcast guy fell asleep is because to set it up, he has to call in to the Comcast, like, you know, "Oh, this is our call support center, and just give me your authorization code, and we'll get, you know, get it online." So the mechanic guy or whatever, the technician, had to call in and was put on hold for 45 minutes.
So he just slept.
And he fell asleep. So he's sitting on the couch waiting to be picked up, and he fell asleep.
First of all, why doesn't he have a direct line? That's ridiculous.
No, he does.
That he has.
No, he does. Like, that's the direct line.
And it's still a 45-minute wait.
45 fucking minute wait.
That's the most ridiculous thing.
That's what made the story that much better.
Wow. So what do you think about this?
I know. Did you listen to the audio?
I have not listened to it.
It's very funny. It's because
is it hilarious?
He jumps into it and he's like, hey, what's going on? This is Brian. How can I help you? Welcome to AOL. Welcome to AOL.
Hi, you're listening to WCRB. I'm Brian.
Welcome to AOL in the morning. I'm Brian, the crazy doctor.
And this is Alligator,
the bear. So he's like, hey, I'm Brian. What can I do to help? So he's like, I want to cancel my account. He's like, okay, well, I just want to just make sure you don't want to upgrade. He's like, no, my dad's the only one that used it, and he doesn't use it anymore. It was in my name. My dad used it, but I just want to cancel it because my dad stopped using it. He's like, oh, you know, how come you're like, can I talk to your dad? He's like, no.
What?
He's like, no, I don't live with my dad. You know, I'm 35. I don't.
I'm not like you, Brian.
I signed up for him because he didn't, you know, understand the technology that well. So, it's in my name and I just want to cancel. He's like, well, you know, I'd really like to talk to your dad about this because he's the one that needs to be making these decisions. If he was, no, I'm 35. I did this for my dad, like, you know, as a favor. It's my account. Like, you know, cancel it. Cancel the account. He's like, but I think cancel the account. Well, I wanted to cancel. You understand me, Brian? Cancel the account. It was hilarious. You really got to listen to it.
Awesome.
I'm so happy that it's like made these repercussions. This, yeah, that's truly the power of the internet. The end. There's my.
I love it. That was a very good show. That was a very like one man monologue thing. That was great.
The next show is at 9:30, and just gotta warn everyone, it gets a little blue. Nope, bring the kids.
Next week I'll be doing Man Calls Electric Company.
All right, my last story is there was a little boy in the street earlier, and I wanted to know his name. I'm just kidding. That didn't go over as well as I thought it was.
It didn't.
awkward. Okay, my last story is Napster offers subscribers free MP3 player.
Free!
Napster has quietly begun offering customers a branded digital music player when they subscribe to Napster's service for a year, according to the company's website. Those who join Napster to Go service can receive a 256 megabyte flash memory MP3 player for free, or pay an additional $50 to get a 1 gigabyte flash player. I think this is kind of stupid. This is the kind of thing I point to and go, oh yeah, Napster's fucked.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I mean, I'll admit this is their last cry for help, you know.
Yeah.
But I kind of agree in that the thing that I don't like about Apple is that they won't let you use Napster with it, you know? Because I don't see why. I mean, I guess I can kind of see why iTunes and Napster are enemies, you know, because they both sell the music. But if, you know, iPods are so big, I'm surprised that, you know, they wouldn't let people who want to use Napster or already were subscribed to Napster. Because you can't use an iPod with Napster, and so
I think that's more of Napster's decision than it is iTunes.
I don't think it is. I mean, the only reason I have Napster. The reason I like Napster is because I can listen. You know, it's a really cheap fee, and I can listen to all the music I want. And, you know, because on iTunes, if I want to listen to the music, I have to pay $1 for every song that I want to listen to, where on Napster I pay a monthly fee. Now, I don't get to put those songs on my iPod, because then I would have to purchase the song. But either way, I can still listen to the music on my computer.
Right.
And they have something on their website about how they can't use iPods, and they made it sound like it was Apple. But I don't know. You know, it's both sides are going to make it sound like it's the other person's fault.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I feel this is like their last effort.
And it's
so it's kind of like Napster's going bye-bye. But at the same time, I mean, you have to admit, it's a good thing they're doing. They're giving away MP3 players. You know, yeah. I mean, what else can they do to boost sales? You know,
yeah,
or boost membership.
Free 256 megabyte. What? How big? That's nothing, right?
Oh, dude, that's so small.
That's like
40 songs.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. It's crap. What you're getting is not a good MP3 player.
Yeah.
But
because I'm sure like the companies that make those are like, fucking get these out of our warehouse. Like, what do we do? Like, how do we get rid of these piece of shit? No one can use
this. These were made like back when 256 megabytes was huge.
Yeah, you're like, oh my god, 40 songs, awesome.
God,
the size of a football field. I can hold. Listen to all the music that I can hold.
Listen to this.
Listen to this. It's two albums. I can fit. Look at me. I have Nas and Jay-Z on this. They're enemies.
And they hate each other.
They're enemies. Look at this. But I think it's good for them. You know, one thing I'll say for Napster is that they're willing to like try different things.
Exactly.
They've changed their business model like a million times now. Tried a thousand different.
Well, I mean, they were huge. I mean. They were the pimpness.
Yeah.
You know,
but they weren't making it.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, before the whole controversy thing. Napster was the thing. Everyone had Napster. I mean, it was. No one had anything else. Then they got in trouble, and all these kind of, like, lower quality versions of these things came up, and those didn't, you know, those just didn't catch on. And so they, you know, went back into the market, and, you know, yeah, they tried it. I don't know.
I don't know, because for a long time, it was like, you know, just pay, you know, we're going to do it the same way Apple did it, and that wasn't working, so they're like, oh, you know, we'll do a yearly subscription, and that kind of worked, and now they're offering, you can do both, and...
So do you, I mean, we both have iPods, and we both know people with iPods, and on my end, myself, I don't buy much music from iTunes, and of my friends... They don't purchase much music from iTunes either. So do you think the iPod iTunes thing actually works well for them? I know they sell – I mean, they just did that thing a few months ago, the, you know, 1 millionth or billionth song or whatever like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wonder how many
I actually
people
think,
actually do it.
I think it's – I
do
think
you?
It's, I, think,
I don't know.
I think it's a lot. I know a lot of people that actually
– Okay.
Buy music from the Apple Store because, you know, they know it'll work on their player. We actually had a big problem with it because we were at work. We were trying to we had to get all this stuff, this music together as like a present to somebody, and we had it, but only as like, you know, the Apple M4A, and so we gave it to this M&M's. So we gave it to the person, and they couldn't play it because, you know, they don't have our username or password, and we felt like such idiots. But I don't know. The only reason we gave, but I don't know where I was going with that. That was a work story.
What just happened?
I don't know.
Did the diaper fall off?
I might. Those satellites got in. It's TiVo for satellites. All right. Okay, let's get to Pimps and Hoes. Who's your
Pimps and Hoes. Patriotic Pimps and Hoes. All right.
A special 4th of July, the Pimps and Hoes. All right. Who's your pimp?
My pimp is Jesse Thorne and the Sound of Young America,
which is on the top 50 most influential podcast, by the way.
Don't lie to me.
I'm not lying.
That's hot. Yeah. Good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
He is in. We've mentioned the Sound of Young America on the show before. It's a great podcast that we both strongly suggest you listen to. Well, his website, the Sound of Young America, which is maximumfun.org. He's doing Listen Appreciation Month, and every weekday, I think this is awesome, every weekday he's giving something away, And all you have to do is reply, send an email address, or send an email to, I believe it's contest@maximumfund.org. I'm not for certain. But you have to answer a question that he asks every day. The question's posted at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And it's just questions based off the show. So it's obviously, if you're a listener, you're going to know the answer. If you're not, you know, you're not going to get the answer. But you can easily find out by listening to the shows. You know, I think this is awesome. I think he's doing a great thing to really boost, you know, listeners, and also to keep people listening. I think it's great.
Yeah.
He's a pimp.
He's a...
And he's giving away pimp things. He's giving away, like, DVD box sets of Kids in the Hall or News Radio or CDs from some of the people he's have on the show and stuff like that.
How has he not been, like, tapped?
I don't understand. I mean, he's interviewed the pimpest people out there, and he's
easily
never been...
he gets them, like, every week. They're like, oh my god, how do you get in touch with this week is Dave Foley. How do you get in touch with Dave Foley to be like,
exactly,
hey, I'm a dude recording a show in my basement. Do you wanna talk to me?
And you know, I'm surprised. I mean, his interviews are always great.
Amazing.
The people he interviews are always surprised. You know, you can tell at the end that they're like, wow, this was a lot awesomer than I thought it was gonna be, especially coming from a kid recording in his basement. You know?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I'm just like you, dude. I'm surprised he hasn't been picked up by some either mainstream radio or even television.
Yeah.
To be like, yeah, you want your own show on like MSNBC, you know, whatever. Who cares?
He's a handsome man.
So
he gives such great interviews, and I can't. He really makes radio fun. He makes it fun.
For all.
I'm crying.
All right, who's your pimp?
My pimp is another double, a two for one. It's NBC and YouTube, who teamed up. Remember, do you remember YouTube and NBC were like, you know, suing each other over that Lazy Sunday rap?
Oh yeah,
got passed around. Well, that was how YouTube like cut its teeth. I mean, that was what made YouTube big, is because everyone could easily post it to that. Pass it around easily from there.
I thought it was the Hasselhoff music video.
That too. So NBC was like all pissed off at YouTube for a long time, but now all of a sudden they've changed their stance and are saying, you know, we want to be a partner with you. Everyone seems this has worked for us in the past. Let's actually do it. And so
yeah,
and so they're kicking it off by having a contest where you record a promo for NBC's show The Office, and it has to be a 2 minute, no, less than that. Maybe it was.
We should do this.
I really want to. It's
we should do this.
You have to create a video that is exactly 20 seconds long, without using any clips from the show, and post it onto YouTube, and you know, and fill out the proper form to enter it, and you have to enter it by July 21st, and it could be anything. Like, I think it's such a open-ended, you know, proposition that it's amazing.
That's awesome.
It's very, very cool. I the link will...
And so didn't you also mention on the Delicious, so they're putting their fall promos on YouTube.
Yeah, and they're all, yeah, so what they're also going to do is when the new shows come out, they're going to say, hey, they're online, everyone go check them out.
I think that's awesome, because I'm really excited about Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. That show looks awesome.
I haven't heard about that.
Well, I recently, I don't know why, I'm, you know, way behind the times on this. I never watched The West Wing, ever. I don't know why, I just didn't. And then a friend of mine let me borrow the DVDs, and I became addicted. I think it's awesome. The writing is amazing. Well, the guy who wrote West Wing is writing this show called Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, and it's like a behind-the-scenes look at a skit television show like SNL.
No, no. Oh, you're thinking 30 Rock.
No. They're both kind of the same thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because
Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip is more of a dramatic view. And I think 30 Rock is more of a funny...
Because 30 Rock looks amazing.
Yeah, no, they both look awesome.
Wow.
NBC's going to pimp it.
Yeah, NBC is the first one to kind of really embrace all this net stuff and understand.
Well, remember just a few months ago when they had every single one of the, like, six-minute,
yeah,
you know, trailers for like, every single show that's coming out in the fall? I was like, this is so hot. You can watch every single one.
Yeah.
You know, right now.
Oh, I was thinking of the NBC's way ahead of the times, because they were the first ones to offer original content through iTunes. I know yep. The Office has iTunes only stuff throughout the summer. Has like 10 episodes, yep. 10 episodes that won't air anywhere but on iTunes. But they also had all those public service announcements. Did you see those for April Fool's Day?
Yeah, dude. Didn't we talk about it on the show?
Did we?
Okay. Yeah. Oh. I think we gave them a pimp.
Oh, okay, good. So so yeah, another pimp for NBC. Add that to your list. Okay.
That's awesome.
I just backed myself into a corner. I suck.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
Idiot.
Who's your hoe?
My hoe. Oh my hoeness.
I know where you're going with this.
A woman living in Germany is auctioning off her red Ferrari Enzo sports car and including a little extra in the package. Herself! So, some 26-year-old German woman says she doesn't want a man who wants her just for her money because, you know, that's always been the problem. So, she's offering off this sports car, and only a millionaire could afford such a car, she says. She wants a man who doesn't like me just for my money. Okay.
So he likes you only for your car?
Exactly. You're willing to meet a man who would be willing to pay for a $1 million car?
It's a match. Yeah, like this. It's a match made in heaven.
This is really weird. It's just, we mentioned before, the literal definition of a hoe.
Yeah, this is.
That is what she's doing right now. is exactly what a hoe would do.
I guess.
Sell yourself for money.
So I guess the cars are pimp?
Yeah, does the car get the money?
Does the car get a cut? But what a shitty.
The funniest thing is the auction had no bids. It ended last week as no bids.
Aha! Oh man, she must be hideous. I wonder if there's a picture of her. We gotta find a picture of her.
Yeah, I'll try to look it up and put it on whatevs.net, but I couldn't find the auction because the article doesn't give a name of anything, but
how frustrating is that?
Very few Ferrari Enzos.
How frustrating is that when web articles reference other things on the internet and they don't give a link?
Isn't that like considered the worst type of journalism?
That drives me nuts.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, I can understand not quoting your sources if you want to keep them hidden, but if you're going to reference something and say, yeah, there's a item on eBay somewhere that we found.
Just give me a link. Just give me a link. Throw a freaking bone. All right.
So that's my hoe. Who's your hoe?
My hoe is, I don't remember now.
I think you said the government.
Oh, the government. What the hell happened to me? I apparently closed that one. So the Senate Commerce Committee last week was voting on the issue of net neutrality, which is kind of a complicated issue. They ended up being deadlocked 11-11, and they ended up voting down net neutrality. So
I'm really surprised that this is as quiet as it is. I mean, I have not heard this talked about on any of the political blogs that I or podcasts yeah. that I listen to or read. I mean, it's really like the only thing I have ever seen is on dig.com. You know, like it's this really
yeah, basically
I'm
only
really surprised.
Only nerds are basically only nerds are kind of caring about it, and that it's for those of you who don't know, I think we've kind of talked about it on the show. The idea of net neutrality is as bandwidth increases, they're set to actually upgrade to a new kind of way that information is distributed through a larger bandwidth. In the next like 5 or 10 years, what the telecom companies want is certain traffic would be given preferential treatment. So there'd be a large tube where all the information would kind of go down, but then there'd be like, you know, side channels where, you know, emergency phone service would be, and but there's so much space. What they could do is give preferential treatment to those who pay for it. So the idea of net neutrality is against that. So what they want is, if it's a large, huge bandwidth, that everything is given equal access to it. There's no private side channels, because the problem is, you know, if Yahoo and Google are you know, competitors, and Google is willing to pay for this special bandwidth, and their pages load super quick, you know, Yahoo's going to die, and all the small startup companies that can't afford to pay for that don't have an equal footing.
Yeah.
So that hence neutrality. Everything is equal.
Yeah. Well,
it's kind of sucks, and I'm really surprised that the Senate is so much in the pocket.
Well, it's one of those. I mean, contact your congressman type things. If they don't feel this is a concern of the people, then they're not going to worry about it, you know. But if we can get everyone on Dig and our listeners and stuff to, you know, send an email. I mean, it's so easy now to contact, you know, with the internet. You can go to, you know, state.gov or something like that and find out who your local congressman is or whatever, and just, you know, get that going. Because I think if they don't think we think it's a concern, then they're not going to think it's a concern
either. Yeah. Did you read the quote from Ted Stevens, the Republican from Alaska?
No.
Oh, he's on the Senate Commerce Committee that voted on it, and this is a quote. I the other day got an internet was sent by my staff at 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday.
A what?
Yeah.
A what was sent?
I just the other day got an internet was sent from my office at 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and I just got it yesterday. Why? Because it got tangled up with all these things going on the internet commercially. I have no idea what that means. Is he saying is it an email that he was trying to?
So is he for?
he's against.
I would think with that statement, you would be for neutrality, because you would be saying, you know, we should make it so it doesn't take this long. Because if you don't do net neutrality, you're going to take forever to get your internet.
apparently he downloaded the entire internet.
The entire internet. That's
and
awesome.
Was, and was upset that it took him a couple days.
You know, I don't want to sound like a jerk, but it might also be because you're in Alaska.
Fuck you, Alaska, for screwing around the rest.
Sorry, Alaska. You're kind of Canadian.
You're worse than Canadian. All right, so that's my whole... I don't know. I'd really encourage people to kind of look into net neutrality. It's a big deal, and it's kind of getting pushed under the rug, and no one's really noticing it, and it's a big deal. It's gonna be a big deal, and I think we're gonna, if it's not, like, people are gonna look back and say, like, that was a mistake. So that's my little rant. All right. Now it's time for TWWWWF, which is Things With Whom We Wish We Were Friends. This is the part of the show where we get all excited about websites or things on the internet, or things anywhere that are really cool
anywhere
that we think are really cool, and we wish we were friends with the people that made them, because obviously these people are incredible geniuses.
Yes.
So who's your TWWWF?
Mine this week is milkandcookies.com.
Oh.
All one word. And what's great about this website is it's kind of one of those, you know, everyone gets those emails of videos and stuff or that are funny and so forth and so on. What they're probably getting them from this website. I mean, everything I've ever received in an email that's like, hey, check out this video I've already seen 2 weeks ago on milkandcookies.com. I mean, they somehow search the internet, and they not only find the funny ones, but they find the really cool ones of some guy playing guitar with his feet, you know, or something like that.
You saw my video?
I did. That was awesome. I kind of cried at the end there.
Pineapple.
But, you know, it's just, it's a really cool site. It's really simple. You just go, and every day they are uploaded with new videos and so forth, and it's really cool. I like it. Check
kind
it out.
Kind of a viral video aggregator.
Yeah, a lot of viral videos.
That's cool. I actually, when you pointed it to me directly, the second one down, I'm like, oh, okay, I just saw this. Someone just sent me this. So. Very cool site, actually.
This was the site where I first saw the William Shatner doing Rocket Man video.
Which is hilarious.
I never knew anything about that. I had seen the Family Guy scene where Stewie does it, but I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I just laughed. I was like, what's this? This is weird. And
this is an obscure reference.
Well, then a friend of mine told me it has reference to William Shatner. I, you know, went to Milk and Cookies, and they had it archived from who knows when. That's the other great thing about their website, is if you know of, like, a funny video that you've seen before, you can go there, click search, and they archive all their stuff. So
that's cool.
Cool website.
I had a point, but I lost it. My TWWW.
Are you talking to yourself?
I am. I'm making mental notes. Put the diaper back on. it's TiVo for satellites. I like that joke. My TWWWF is a blog called Logged Hours. It's loggedhours.blogspot.com, which I'm a big fan of. It's I actually know the girl that writes it, and I was totally shocked because I'm like, oh, I've read this before, and then I met her, and you know, now I talk to her fairly regularly, so I guess I am kind of a friend with her. But it's a really good blog. I guess it's all about her life. But it's really funny. She makes a lot of kind of random points that I'm like, that's something cool to think about. And she's constantly being, cited on, the Gawker group. I've seen her on Wonkat and, Gawker a couple times.
That's awesome.
But it's really good. It's a blog, but it's a really well done blog.
Awesome, I'll check that out. And you know her?
I know her.
You knew her previously?
I know her through work. She's friends of friends of people at work, and she works in the building. I know, it's really cool.
That is cool.
So I don't know. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I get worried, Eric.
It's okay. I was actually messing around with our Audacity program.
You were actually messing around with your girlfriend. I keep busy.
Right. Oh, well, that is our stories for this week. Please, if you'd like to see these stories or any others that we are talking about, check out our website, whatevs.net. That's www.whatevs.net. And if you just want to look at my stuff, you can check out my delicious page, which is del.icio.us/knowledgeispower, all one word, /Eric.
And if you have a crush on me and just want to know what I'm thinking about, go to delicious.knowledgeispower/Greg.
All right. Thanks for listening. And this show once again proves there's a lot of knowledge out there, but we know what's best for you.
Thanks, everyone. Good night. Have a happy 4th.